Well, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning for our session. We're both extremely excited just for the opportunity to share and learn from one another. We really hope that that is absolutely an outplay of our time together today, is not only that we're able to share some of our experiences when it comes to spending a day or extended time alone with God, but really that we'll learn from each other. And so my name is EJ Wood. I am on staff at All Shores Wesleyan Church in West Michigan, just along the lakeside west of Grand Rapids. And my wife and I have been there for 5.5 years. We have a 2-year-old boy who is the joy of our life, and we actually have a baby girl that we're expecting next month. And so I'm hoping, as I've learned and gotten into my rhythm of practicing this extended time with God, that for some of you, what you'll hopefully be able to take away, not solely, but for some, what that looks like to really have that practice with a young family, with kids, with being earlier in ministry and still learning what those rhythms look like. So thanks for being here. I'm excited to get to share with you guys this morning.
I'm Dennis Jackson, and I have the privilege of representing the mission of the Wesleyan Church around the world through Global Partners. And we're involved in 99 countries. It's a crazy life. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I work with Russ Gonzalez, who has like 12 generations of pastors, you know, like who are all DSs and all these kind of things. And my only claim to fame is my brother's name is Michael Jackson. he's alive, but he can't dance. But I just pinch myself and go, I get to see what God's doing. I get a front row seat to see what he's doing around the world. And it's an incredible, incredible thing. And thank you for being Global Partners, because all of us do this. None of us can do this alone. My wife and I have been married now 40 years. She's right back here. And yep, there she is. And we have 4 children. We would have had more, but we didn't like kids. And so we have 8 grandchildren, which is the joy of our life, really it is. And they live everywhere around the world. We have kids in Indianapolis, about 1/2 mile from us. Bloomington, about an hour and a half from us. Pasadena, California, which is just way too far, but not as far as Christchurch, New Zealand. And so our oldest daughter lives there with her family, church planting. I'm the old guy in comparison here. You probably didn't realize that, but I'm a little older. And so I want to share from some of the experience, but I've forgotten, honestly, what it was like when we had young kids and what it was like to have extended time and what that meant. And we were church planters when I first started this practice a little bit. And it was just crazy days. And so really glad, EJ, that you're in the room and get to share from that perspective and stuff like that. Hey, let me just jump in with a couple of questions. By the way, as EJ mentioned, you're going to learn from each other today, because we're going to do a lot of stuff on walls and stuff where we're going to talk about some barriers, benefits, things like that. But I want to just begin with a couple of easy questions, easy response. I know it's first thing in the morning. How many of you love Jesus? Just raise your hand, Andrew. Okay. There's only one that doesn't. I'm so sorry about that. Maybe somebody can share after last night's message and lead them to Christ. How many of you think it's really important to grow as a Christ follower? Yeah. How many of you would say, right now, I am like super satisfied with the spiritual plan that I have to keep on growing? Yeah, that's where it kind of breaks down a little bit. Like, I know you love Jesus. I know you want to grow. I know you know that's essential. But sometimes, and it's, man, it's season of life. Sometimes it affects that. It's age, it's development, it's craziness of life. It's some of you are co-vocational, so you're pastor in a church, and you've got this going on. Some of you are young moms, some of you are old moms. That was not a good thing to say. I didn't mean that. But again, it's just one of those things where it's like, wow. Life is what it is, and I know it's complicated, and one of the things we're talking about here is thriving. So how do we do that? And we hope that this is part of that. One of the things that I wanted to share off just right at the beginning is why would we be motivated? We're going to talk about benefits. You're actually going to talk about benefits in a little bit. But why would we be motivated to have extended time alone with God? Because it's not something everybody does. Certainly don't do it every day, probably. What would be a motivation? Intimacy? Yep. What else? Yeah. Renewal? Sure. By the way, I don't write to be read. I write just to tie myself up here a little bit. So, fresh vision? Yeah, direction. I'm sorry? Being filled. Oh, still. And filled. That's a good one, too. Yeah. Still and filled. Sorry. Told you I don't write to be read. Wow. That's a powerful one, isn't it? Okay, we're going to stop right there. Because what I want to say to you is, you have these motivations. You really do want to know Christ better. All of us do. And we want to share from that perspective. This is not a guilt-driving thing. This is not a, oh, here's another thing I can't do in my spiritual life to grow. We want this to be a motivating kind of thing. Because I believe you're already motivated for all of these things. You really do love Jesus. You really do want to know Him more. My wife had the privilege of writing a book last year, and it's been a really fun journey in her life. And she talks about unforced rhythm, is what it's called. The subtitle is a very controversial one that people either hate the book for or go, I got to read this, okay? Anybody seen this? She was a, yeah, okay. So the subtitle, Unforced Rhythm, is the book, Why Daily Devotions Aren't for All of Us. Which is one of those, the publisher was like, I don't know that you want to put that on there, you know. But it's been a really powerful thing. She talks about three different rhythms, and I should have her teach this, but I'm going to do it anyway. There are daily people. They wake up and say, it's Tuesday. What do I do on Tuesday? And they have a routine. In fact, they're anchored in routine. They love doing the same things. The great illustration is her mother, who is now 87 and has not only daily devotions but daily routines. There's a wash day during the week. There's a baking day during the week. There's a, you know, go to, you know, whatever. Every night she lays out her devotional book, her Bible, her bowl for her cereal, everything with the milk, literally, and the coffee. And she does that every day. Every day she writes in a journal. She does a one-page journal. It's kind of more like a diary. Every day she writes in that. Every day she reads her 10-year-old one from the year 10 years ago and the 20 years ago. And she does it every day. Has she ever missed in 87 years? I don't think she has. And amazing time with God. She has her little, I think, daily bread or something like that. She does a different devotional at night and has a different reading, but that's her day every day. Weekly, monthly people are anchored in goals, and they sort of look at things like, in this week or within this month, I have this to accomplish, and today I didn't get as much done as I hoped to, but by the end of the week, I'll get this goal accomplished. And so they tend to look at it in larger blocks. They like calendars. I'm this person. I have multiple calendars. I have year at a glance, month at a glance, day at a glance, this moment at a glance. I have all kinds of calendars. Gwen laughs at my calendars because I color code them. I even put tape on them sometimes and, you know, different colored tapes and different colors for anybody like me, like calendars. Nobody likes. Okay, thanks. They're anchored in these goals of, like, blocks of time. And then there are people who are seasonal. Not necessarily the seasons of the year, you know, winter, spring, summer, and fall, but they run in kind of a flow of things. When they're in a season, there tends to be sort of big theme ideas that they're about, and they give themselves to that. When that season's over, oftentimes they're not really doing much of anything. The season kind of ended and, you know, waiting for the next season to come up. Some of you know the word for the year idea. They kind of go with that, but it might not last a year. It might be 6 months or 3 months, but they kind of go with themes and big kind of things. They're anchored in process, and especially processing life. One of the gifts that we have for you today is on the chairs, and if there's not enough, just pass them and keep them. But Gwen's ebook is offered 50%, and I think Wesleyan Publishing is running it even cheaper right now, so you get 50% off that. What's, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I'm not sure. The other day it was. Yeah, not upstairs, but just down at the Westland Publishing. Yeah, so they'll sell the book for 50%. And Gwen has three books today, and I'm going to let her figure out a little bit later how you're going to get those out. So you can order it at 50%, you can get it online for 50%, or you can get it free if you just make the plea to Gwen. This is not going to be good. Nobody's going to listen. They're just going to strategize how they can get the book. So that's kind of one of those things. That's been super helpful to me. I'm a weekly, monthly person, and that's why extended time alone with God has been so significant to me. EJ's going to share a little bit about what it is in the reality of his life with a two-year-old and a little daughter on the way. I didn't know about that. So, was that an announcement to everybody, or has that been known for a while?
That was not an announcement to everybody. Okay. That's been known.
Okay, good. Cool. Fair way.
Yeah, like I said, and Dennis just mentioned, I'm in a season of life right now where family, not that it's not a priority all throughout life, but where there's a real focus on raising a family and my wife and I learning our rhythms of that and how to do that best, especially now moving from having one kid to two and how that's going to change dynamics for us. And certainly I would think and hope that many of you have had to learn those rhythms, will have to learn those rhythms, whatever they might be. And when I came to All Shores 5 years ago, that's when this practice of day alone with God, extended time alone with God, really began for me. I have a huge blessing at the church that I'm at that we're actually a staff gifted with a day each month, where we're expected to honor that and use that to grow personally in our relationship with God and to spend our focus with some of those monthly rhythms that Dennis just talked about. And so 5 years ago, I didn't have a really regular rhythm of that. I didn't know what that should look like, what would be most beneficial to me for that to look like. And for some of you today, that might be you. Maybe you don't have this regular rhythm yet, and my hope is today you could leave with some idea of how you might be able to take steps towards that. For some of you, you've been doing this, you have a rhythm, you might just need to tweak it more, or maybe it's rediscovering the value for that rhythm that you once had that you've fallen out of. And so I've had to process what that looks like over 5 years. When that first began for me, we didn't have kids yet, and so that was a time that looked different because of the season of life that I was in. And then when we had our son just over 2 years ago, rhythms began to change for what that time looked like, and prioritizing still having that time. Because while it was expected for me, at church, as a gift, I really do. I've come to this point that I absolutely know that that is a generous gift that the church gives to me. You guys know this. It is so easy to get distracted by work, by family, by all those things, and to easily pass through a month without making it a priority to have that. Or even making the priority to schedule it, and it comes, and there's so many things to get done that I'll move it to next week, or it's just not going to happen this month, or whatever it might be. And those things happen whether you got a young family or not, because we all have the things that eat up our time that distract us from having what I have come to understand is such a valuable time to my growth personally, as an individual, as a follower of Christ, as a husband and a father, the rewards from making it a priority of this time. And that, if anything, I think is what Dennis and I both want to articulate today, is how much emphasis we would give to you to make it a priority to have this regular time alone with God. And I really do mean that in the sense of when we looked at these rhythms of that more weekly Sabbath or that monthly practice of setting aside time. I hope you do have daily routines that help you engage in your relationship with God. But I really want to emphasize, especially in the phase of life that I've been in, that that weekly Sabbath, that monthly routine of finding time for me to just dwell in the presence of God, how that's been best for me is where I find re-fulfillment in God on a month-to-month basis. My wife and I have created new rhythms for ourselves. Just over a year ago, we really felt a push. We were 1 year into being parents and felt like we have got to create some new rhythms for ourselves of really having a regular Sabbath practice. And what does that look like for us? And there were friends of ours around us who had begun those practices that we could learn from. Man, if anything, not only today, but I hope that if this is something you're wanting to grow in, find others who are already doing it and learn from them. And others who are in a very similar phase of life. That's what was encouraging for us. And that didn't mean that we took their blueprint and simply copied it. But we looked at what they did and the practices that they had as a family to make a meal and share that together in a very unique way for the week, whatever that meant for them. We took the things that we liked, that we knew that would be most beneficial to us, that we knew would help us as a family encounter God's presence on a week-to-week basis, and began to implement those into our lives. And so my wife and I think we actually even do some things that are unique, and maybe some others would say, that's not Sabbath, that's not resting. But we know that in our rhythms of life that those are the things that have helped restore us, that help us to encounter God's presence together and week to week to help him refresh us. So some of the, what I would actually say are unique things that Mallory, my wife, and I have begun to do is pretty regularly now, actually, in our Sabbath, which is for us usually Thursday night to Friday dinner time. We usually do kind of an evening Thursday through the day Friday, because Friday is our day off of work. And that's really a fairly lay low type of day for us. We really value that night and that time is for our family, and even in the next day that we get that time with our son to just enjoy him, to do fun things with him, to get out of the house together as a family. But one of the unique things that we do is we have actually tried to find something around our house that we can simply clean up, might not be the best, but to actually discard and get rid of, to clear the clutter from our lives that so easily builds up and causes stress. And at first I felt like, this feels like this might be work, and I'm not supposed to work on the Sabbath and rest. But man, I can't even tell you for us how life-giving that is when we have found a new closet that is now clean, or that junk drawer in our kitchen that is reorganized. And honestly, for us, the way that we just both operate, that organization of our lives and stuff, we find a really unique and deep encounter with how God meets us in a simple practice like that that we have. When it comes to my monthly rhythm of taking a day alone with God, really a work day where I'm on my own, I've had to create what are the best rhythms and practices of that for me. And I had no idea what those were 5 years ago. I went into those days not having plans at all, thinking, oh, I'll just go into this and figure out, you know, what I'm supposed to do, and distractions add up and the day flies by and feel like I got to take care of one more email and check email with work that I'm not supposed to be doing. And those things could easily just fly by, and I wasn't getting the value out of them. So I had to learn that, you know, what is it going to be for me that really adds value to my opportunities and my relationship to encounter God on those days? What is it that's going to restore, that's going to fulfill and refill who I am, what I do, how I am able to go back to work the next day, to go back into my rhythm of marriage and parenting that night restored and refilled? And what has been transformative for me in that, and I'm going to get into this just probably a little bit more later because I want to prompt some things for all of you, but there's a passage in the Gospel of Mark that many of you probably have heard and are familiar with, and it's a story in Mark 2 where Jesus is with the disciples, what's recognized as a Sabbath day. And they're walking through a field, and the disciples have a physical appetite, a hunger that arises, and they begin to pick heads of grain. And the Pharisees, who always seem to get irritated by what Jesus and the disciples are doing because they're rule breakers, say to Jesus, you know, what are your disciples doing? They're breaking the law. They're not supposed to do these things on their Sabbath, on their day of rest, on a day that's meant to honor God. And Jesus reminds them actually of an encounter that David had years and years and years ago, and the law that they would read and be so familiar with that when he had a physical desire, an appetite that needed to be met that God could only meet, that he actually ate the bread that only the priests by the law were allowed to eat. And Jesus says this statement that for me that has transformed the way that I look at my extended time with God. And he says that man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for man. And this whole idea that what Sabbath is meant to be for us is it is meant to restore us for whatever does restore us. And we know those things. That's the amazing thing to me about that transformed is I don't feel like I suddenly have to figure out some blueprint of a plan from someone else. While there are good things to learn from others and see what will be helpful and beneficial for me and my family, suddenly I can look at my day and I know where I find God and meet him best, personally. I know that. And I'm more discovering that as I make this practice a priority in my own life. As, you know, my wife can point those things out to me. My friends and coworkers can point those things out to me. And so suddenly, I have a rhythm of a day alone, extended time alone with God now that looks much different because I know exactly the places where I encounter and meet God. And so for me, a very new thing in my life in the last 8 months is, whether it looks like it yet or not, I've become a runner. And I ran my first half marathon in October. It was amazing. And running has become a place where I meet God. I wasn't expecting to get emotional about that, but it's been new. And it's a unique place where I've had him speak to me on runs that I've never experienced before. And so that's become a regular practice for me with my day alone with God. You know, again, that's not necessarily restful when we think of what Sabbath is meant to be. But it is where I encounter his presence. It is where I am alone with him and where he meets me. And so that's my encouragement to you, whatever your phase of life is in. Uniquely as a parent and in a family now, our rhythm even with dropping our son off to daycare, I get to drop him off in the mornings, and uniquely on those days often, on my day alone with God that I spend, him and I will often go to Denny's together or something where it's just me and him getting to do something fun together before, I get the day just to myself. But it's a unique rhythm that I have, and it's a place where I get to spend that time with him and learn something unique and new where God meets me in that. And so that's my encouragement to you, whatever phase of life that you're in, that you would know and find those things that are unique to you, where you know that God meets you, because that is what extended time with God should be, simply from my experience and my opinion. And I understand that there can even be different perspectives on that alone, but time alone with God, however that is designed to be, is meant to be time with God, and so you know where you meet God. And that's my encouragement to you specifically from what I'm learning in my experiences and continuing to grow in. So, Dennis, would you come share from your much greater, you're a seasoned vet,
yeah,
your experience with these rhythms?
Yeah. Well, in running, I don't meet with God. I'm more afraid I'll meet God if I run. So Gwen's our runner, and I cheer her on. I run through airports quite a bit, and so, you know, that's where I kind of see if I can't focus it. You know, this whole journey for me was something, not growing up in a Christian home or something, I learned the disciplines that you should practice to grow with Christ, but I didn't know that there were other ways of doing this. And Keith Urie was the first one that exposed to me this. I was in Texas, and I was the district youth president. We don't have those anymore. But I was invited to a sharing time that Keith brought all those people together. And for the first time in my life, I'd heard about what he called TOG, time alone with God. And then he said, you know, some of you would really benefit if you would actually make it an hour alone with God. And the stretching thought of like a whole hour with God. And some of you would say, well, that's all, you know. But for a lot of us in that meeting, I remember that was sort of life transforming. What would it be like to spend a whole hour with God? And what would you even do with a whole hour with God? Read 55 minutes and pray for 5 or pray for 55, you know. And so we talked about those kind of things. And then he talked a little bit about what would it be like to have a day alone with God. And he talked about Dwight Robertson, some of you know, who started doing this, and he would literally take his calendar. Remember paper calendars? You used to have those things, a little book or something like that? In fact, the WIF used to give them out. I used to use that one. He would take a black marker and completely mark out the entire day so that he couldn't get any appointments on that day, and just made it a day alone with God. And that was so intriguing to me. He said, you know, maybe it'd even be sometimes a week alone with God. You know, a WOG. So you got a TOG, a HOG, a WOG, dog, WOG. Month alone with God, and maybe a year alone. No, I'm just kidding. But this idea of spending a whole day was so intriguing to me, so I tried it. And honestly, like EJ, you just shared, I was like, okay, now what do I do? And my tendency was either overplan or underplan. I'd just say, well, I'll let the Spirit lead me, and somehow He didn't seem to lead me some days. Or I'd say, well, just in case, I'll bring these 7 books and 4 translations, and you know, and that, you know, that was crazy days too. And forgot my journal. Oh, I wanted my journal, you know, and so I was just really hit and miss. And I would do it about 3 or 4 times a year. And then I got into a practice where I just started doing it monthly. And honestly, every time I set that date, it was the craziest week of the month. You know, it was when I planned it, it was like, oh, that's a free, light week, you know. And then it just seemed like literally all hell broke loose that week, and I can't do it, I'll make it next week, you know, and you never get it. And I finally just got to a place where I set it for the second Wednesday of every month for years. I probably, when I did that, was tempted every single time to reschedule it, skip it this month, whatever. I think one time in probably a 10, 20-year span, I had a funeral that I actually happened to have that day. All of the rest of them were challenged, but I tried to really keep it as a discipline because it's always going to be challenged. And the enemy loves to stop you from doing this, right? So why would he say, oh, I'll give you an easy week too, you know? God said, you know, it was always a challenge, always rewarded. And I'll just share this with you too. In a 12-month period, 2 of the days alone with God are absolutely life-changing for me. 2 of them, I'm glad I did them, but yeah, I don't know. Nothing seemed to quite work that day. I did everything. It was good. It was glad. Sometimes there was extra distractions for some reason. And the other 7, 8 are just good, and I'm really glad I do. So this is not like, oh man, every time is this amazing thing. But as I look back at the trajectory of my life, that and accountability have been the 2 most important things in my spiritual growth. Prayer partners would be the other piece I'd add on to that. Nothing's impacted me more than having that extended time. Do I spend time with God every day? Yeah, I listen to Scripture a lot. I've really enjoyed listening to Scripture. I picked up a new app called Dwell. You may not be familiar with that. It's a phenomenal. I received it as a gift. I have a prayer list. I have a prayer guide that I follow through. I'm not perfect on every day, but the monthly thing has been something that's been a life-transforming thing. Lots of adjustments over the years, lots of things. So what we want you to do now is break into groups, and we're going to do groups of 5. Can you count really quick and see how many we have in here? Just kind of. And so stand up. Let's just do a group of 5. What we're going to do is 2 groups, 2 assignments. half of you are going to do what we're calling the benefits, I think it's benefits, right, of having extended time with God. You're going to write it on big sheets, and we have several sheets for you. And half of you are going to do hindrances, okay? And this is a group activity. We've got lots of markers, so everybody can have those. Then we're going to kind of blow the whistle, and you're going to go and look at what everybody else wrote on their sheets for the ones that do benefits and the ones that did hindrances. And then we're going to flip-flop, and you get to add things to it. So this is like multi-creation. This is one of those things where you're listing things, but you're doing it as a group. So let me just prompt this. You can't have one person who says, well, when I do this, and they give four or five paragraphs of what they do, okay, or the benefits of it. This is short answers, pretty quick response, but let each other motivate and get things going. So get into groups of five now, okay?
Others, I've got to have some time with people during the day. You know, if I don't do that, I'll go crazy. Like, alone, I don't want to be alone. You know, you have all that kind of thing. So just thought it'd be fun, as we're looking at this list, each of us is going to highlight a couple of hindrances. Yeah. That you guys put down, but they're all good. Like, I'm under this, so I don't know which ones do I highlight. I'll give you that.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks for being so extensive with all these. I noticed just looking throughout, and there's a lot on similar ones. I love this hero complex one that was written here. This I resonate with this because, you know, if I'm not there, if I'm not at work to do it, it's not going to get done. And it's not going to get done the way that I want it to get done. I thought that was great. There's a lot of good ones on here. That one specifically stuck out to me. I don't know what group was over here, but just the simple fear and anxiety was written. What are you afraid of? Who wrote that? I'm just curious. What are you actually afraid of? And that's okay. I'm not, what do you mean when you say fear? Because I think it's great. I think it's true. Sure. This, I haven't done it before. Yeah, that's great. Absolutely. Yeah. Fear absolutely is a part of, you know, a hindrance when it comes to these days. Even for those of us who have done it, there might be, I heard someone, talking over here about, I feel like I'm not in a good sin. I've been away from God. I don't know that I want to spend time with God. There might be some real fear in that. What's going to happen if I actually do encounter God? Those are just a few that were mentioned. Honestly, great work, guys. These are great extensive lists, as Dennis mentioned. Take a picture of some of these if it's helpful to you. Dennis, benefits.
Benefits, one of them is on everybody's sheet was listed. And I just don't think we listen enough. I think we need to remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit of God, and what are people that believe about this, right? That the Holy Spirit of God actually lives inside of us, and He speaks to us. It's an incredible, crazy thing, really, that the God of the universe speaks to us, but He does. I love Jeremiah 31:3, that God appeared to us in the past, He took initiative, and said to us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. And I find that on the day alone with God, if I don't set aside time for listening, and God always speaks. Mm-hmm. We have a book on listening to God, I'm trying to remember the name of it, God Guides. It's a little book written by an old missionary, and when she was in Holland, Michigan, she retired there, she was from there originally, she was in a nursing home, died at like 105 years old, and Gwen's friend was a really good friend of hers in prayer partner. We visited her in the nursing home, and she asked her one day, she said, Mary, does God speak to you every day? And Mary just paused and contemplated. And she said, if I listen. And I think the God of the universe wants to see. And I saw that over and over again. Leading by example, I love that you wrote that. Because there's a lot of people that would like to do this, need to do this, and stuff like that. But they're looking at us. We're too busy for that. And what kind of example is that? If we're not connected to God, you know, we're all in trouble. And resignation, I don't think that was... Oh, resignation for me, manager of the universe. I circle over here, appreciation of God's beauty. For some of you, that's one of the greatest things you do, to get in nature. I love the heck when I'm able to. No distractions, free to hear and connect with God. There's so many distractions in their lives, aren't there? And just to be able to shut it off and shut it down every once in a while. So significant. How many of you have done this for a good long season, maybe 5 years, 10 years, longer? Can somebody share your best practice? Paul, give us your best practice. Like, when you think about it, this is one thing that seems to be helpful. I shared with the group that when I started, I was prone toward productivity. I took a whole day, I had to have some work product to show for it. So I actually went way too far with goal setting, work product that I had to try to come up with in the wrong direction. So for me, having a mix of some kind of productivity where I'm actually producing something that I have, balance with times of quietness, rest, solitude, silence. For me, it's the bathroom. We have a very common all of us are wired differently, so there are people who actually say, running might be like me,
I love to walk. If I walk, it helps me to release some of my stress because I take on so much.
Yeah.
So I walk and I pray and I recite scripture that comes to my mind, and that just helps me connect with God and prepares me for my next encounter with my patient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great.
Grab your seats really quick. The green sheet, can we pass that out? And can you get some more help to get that out as fast as you can?
Again, I want to encourage you to take pictures of the wall and look at that stuff. This is stuff we can teach. We're passing out a sheet right now that's just
some tools, resources, and plans. So if you'll jump in your seat, and are there people helping to pass those out real quick?
Yes,
people
they are.
Yeah, thanks. We just wrote down some spiritual practices. I did this with my team at Global Partners, and I had filled in, but I had some space for them to do. Somebody said, rewrite a song. I thought, that's a great idea. Somebody said, write a song. I thought, that's a terrible idea. But just working through those kind of things. One of the things that I've done, and I get that card. Can you pass out the confession card? One of the things that I've been doing, like, day one with God about every 3 months, every three or four times a year, you have a confession card, the forgiveness card.
Yeah.
You can pass that out. This is how it's going. I try to keep short runs, and so I'll just pray through a prayer. Lord, would you reveal and bring to mind anyone that I might need to forgive? And one of my hopes before I die is that one of those times, God will say, no, you're a clear sight with everybody. But he always brings people's mind, names to mind, and I work through forgiveness. I just did this in December and had a really significant time on God. just giving grace to forgive and work through. And not only are the people that I list out, I often have to write my own name down. Anybody ever struggle with self-forgiveness?
Yeah.
And there are times I even have to write God's name down. And it's not because he's sinned against me, but it's just a disappointment. Just the, like, God, I don't get this. I prayed fervently, and you did the opposite, it seemed, or you didn't do anything. And working through those kind of things, confession has been a really big thing.
Yeah, so this handout, we hopefully help just kind of starts the thought of what some of those practices could be for you. And even the bottom half there is practical ideas for planning an extended time alone with God. We would really like to, before you leave today, to challenge you, if this isn't a regular rhythm of yours, that before you leave today, you would actually schedule when you're going to do this. In the next couple weeks, maybe right now with where your rhythm is, you need to schedule it for February. But before you actually even leave today, that you would block out that time. That Mayo Clinic appointment, I love that. That this is more important than that, that you would block that out before you even leave today. That maybe someone in your group, maybe someone around here, whether you know them or not, that you would actually ask, hey, would you hold me accountable to meeting this first time that I've planned for myself? Maybe you share numbers, and would you just text me on that day and ask if I did what I said I was going to do today? And hopefully this bottom part, as I mentioned, could be just some of those things to prompt how that time, how that day, whatever time you set aside for that might look for you. It might be some of these practices. It might be the things, those sacred rhythms that we talked about. And you know, one of the unique things I think is so appropriate that I guess I just would want to share with you, even in the times I don't know if I saw it on a benefit or not, although the idea is certainly there. But this theme of rest this week, I want to give you permission on a day alone with God to take a nap, to just, you know, lay and listen to music or whatever that might be. I mean, that can sound so silly. And again, for some of you, you're like, that is a waste of time. That is not honoring my time with God. And I understand where you're coming from with that. For those of you who think that you can't, though, I just want to give you permission to. That is something. Again, those are, if that's the desire of your heart, if that's the need of your body, then God wants to meet you in that and give you the rest that you have and need to have. So please use that. Add to that. Discuss those things. Share those things with others. That is certainly not an exclusive list that's meant to stay just as it is right now. That's actually something Dennis has developed over time of sharing this and learning from others, as he said.
Let me just say to you, watch out for legalism on this, because you can fall into this trap of just thinking, oh, my goodness, I can't take a nap because this day has to look like that. Or, you know, I better not get a sermon idea during this. You know what I started doing was just carrying a 3x5 or a little pad with me. And when ideas came to mind, I'd write them down, put them in my pocket, and not have to think about them again. I didn't have to write an entire sermon. But if I'm meeting with the God of the universe for a whole day, he might actually give me some really good ideas, and I don't want to lose them. You know? And so I would just, I carried for a while just a dictation thing, and I'd dictate it into my thing, shove it in my pocket, settled, done. I don't have to think about it more. But it was one of those ideas that just came out, or an illustration that came up, and I'm like, I don't want to lose this, but neither do I want to spend the rest of the day writing a message. That's a planning day. That's a sermon prep day. And so, but don't become legalistic about this, where I can't do that or shouldn't do this and stuff like that. The other thing I want to just highlight on that list is ask for spiritual protection from your prayer partners. And if you don't have prayer teams, it's a whole other conversation. I always ask my prayer partners, pray for me. I'm on a day alone with God this week on such and such a day. Lift me up. Ask for spiritual protection, because you know what? I don't want to do battle all day. And I don't want to be defeated. And I know when I've forgotten to do that. I know when I've just like, oh man, I didn't. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What would he like more to steal, kill, and destroy than a day with God? And so please don't ignore that point. It's just so critical.
That's great. I think one of the things that we discussed that we didn't write on here, but that I would want to maybe even challenge you with, depending on where you're at in this process of developing extended time with God, is We talk about being disciple makers and wanting to make disciples. What would it look like for you to make it a priority to give a dog to someone else? Whether that's staff that you lead or your spouse, maybe you need to gift them with a day alone or time alone with God. Or what would it look like for you to actually, and I'm not saying that you do this every time, but a unique time where you have someone that you're investing in that you invite to come along on a day alone with God with you, to learn your rhythms, to see your practices, to see how can I influence and develop this valuable practice in someone else that I'm pouring into. Those are really rich, unique things that I think we can all do for others as we want to have them done for us and have them done in us. And so the last thing I just want to mention that I made mention to earlier with that passage in Mark is if you're wondering what do I do at this day, even seeing all of these things and having these discussions, you're still not quite sure how do I fill this time, what do I do? I would just simply ask you to ask the question, what are the things that bring me rest, that restore me? What and where are the places that I meet God? That's what you should do with your time alone with God. That has been what has been most fulfilling and enriching for me.
Yeah, good stuff. And I just want to reiterate the challenge. If you've not done this, we started this with sort of a day alone with God. For some of you, 3 hours would be a pretty extensive time, and maybe is all you could actually get right now. Well, block out 3 hours. Block out 5 hours. Somebody said I do it quarterly. There's no, again, legalistic pattern to all of this. But I just really believe with all my heart that for some of you, adding some time and blocking it out and pushing away the distractions might well be one of the greatest things you could do. Find those perfect places that work so well. Location matters for me. When I lived in Michigan, I had a family that had this perfectly ordered home, like no distractions in their house and stuff. I could use their house anytime. It was also by a park that joined Lake Michigan. And on a good day, I would start at the park and then end up at the house. On a bad day, I'd end up in the house. You know, the weather's just crappy, which half the time in Michigan is, you know. But it just brought this wonderful balance, an uncluttered home and out in nature. For some of you, you need to drop in the mall. I remember one day alone with God, I spent in a mall because I needed my heart broken for lost people. And I went there not to shop, but to see. And it was an amazing, eye-opening time. That's the last time I want to spend the last place I want to spend a day alone with God. But God worked in my heart where I had just become calloused and cold. And so, you know what? Be led by Him. Get accountability. You talked in your groups. You might want to have another conversation at the coffee break today with somebody who's in this room. Talk to me a little bit more about that. We don't do this alone except to be with God, but we learn from each other and we gain so much. And so, Holy Spirit, would you seal what you highlighted today in our lives? Because for some, there was a big marker that nobody else saw, but Holy Spirit, you made it really clear. This is something I'm guiding you. Listen for my voice. Follow my lead. I want to give you life in abundance. I want you to know me, you would say to us. And so, God, I pray that as we walk out of here, that you'd give us the discipline to take the first steps. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to find just somebody who could ask us accountability. Or maybe they already have accountability partners. Say, I want to do this. And then I pray that you'd give for that spiritual protection so that we might draw close to you. Without the hindrance of the enemy, we do enough battle in the rest of the days. Would you give grace that we might have that unhindered time with you? Thank you for this time. Bless these leaders, these pastors, these who love you so much. And may they be, out of the overflow of their lives, able to minister in deeper and greater ways in the days ahead. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless.